A smile is a facial expression formed by flexing the muscles most notably near both ends of your mouth. There are five pairs of facial muscles, and it takes all 53 muscles to smile. The smile can be seen around your eyes if the smile is really a smile. It's an expression of pleasure. It's an expression of happiness. It's an expression of amusement. We're told that there's 18 different kinds of smiles that are used in a variety of situations. Everybody was born with the ability to smile. And all of us. And I got fascinated about that. I studied everything I could on the medical side of the benefits of smiling. Here's some of them. It's contagious. You smile long enough, even that person sitting beside you may smile. It lowers blood pressure. They say if you learn how to smile through life, it'll help you with your blood pressure problems. It relieves stress. It changes our mood. It'll make you look younger by smiling. It's a painkiller. It'll help you stay positive. And it will even boost your immune system. Don't you think the Lord had it right when the Lord said that laughter is the best medicine of all?
Amen.
Now learn what it means to smile. We sit in this sanctuary today and we are a blessed group of folks.
Amen.
All of us. Now you don't have to say that. You're blessed. You've got food to eat. You've got clothes on your body. You've got a house to live in. You've got a family who loves and cares for you. We are a blessed group of folks. We sit here today as people who have been saved by God's wonderful grace. I'll tell you one thing. If God today said, Rod, I'll give you an Olympic gold medal or I'll give you salvation, which one would you take? I'll tell you, I'll stick with salvation. I'll stick with salvation. And so we're blessed. We're blessed. And we really do not deserve everything that God has done for us. We sit here today and I no longer have to worry about where I'm going to spend eternity. Thank God it has been said.
Amen.
Preached a series of sermons, old-fashioned series of sermons a while back on the subject called hell. There is a place called hell. There is a place called heaven. And I am glad to know that today, because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
We ought to smile. We ought to smile. And we ought to have a smile from ear to ear. What happened to our old-fashioned smile? We'll rejoice and be happy. You know what happens? The devil robs us of our rejoicing. How does he do it? Well, he does it by sin. Unconfessed sin in our life, you will not be able to enjoy this life. If there's things in my heart and things in your heart that ought to be right with God today, and I have not confessed them to God, and He has not forgiven me of those things, it will rob me of my smile. It will rob me of my joy. It will rob me of really happiness that comes from serving Jesus.
Amen.
I also tell you a second thing the devil's done inside of our churches. You know what he's done? That's robbed us of our smiles and our rejoicing. He has brought strife in among us. When brothers and sisters have hatred in their hearts toward one another, let me tell you something, there will be no rejoicing. There will be no rejoicing. And the Lord's house ought to be a time that every brother and sister in Christ come down, sit down on the same page, and realize, thank God, we're saved by the same glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to the same heaven when we die, and yet Jesus Christ. Yeah, Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not looked around lately, there's a lot of folks dying without Jesus. If you have not thought about it lately, Jesus is soon to come. If you have not thought about it lately, do you realize who has the greatest news of all time? You and I. And so therefore, we ought to get our attention off of one another and put our attention back on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's on Him. It's on Him. And so you better be careful that the devil, through sin in your life, in strife in your life, does not rob you of your entrance. St. Peter on one occasion told the people of Asia Minor what kind of life that he wanted them to live. They were a group of persecuted believers. Everywhere they turned, it seemed like somebody was hounding them. And I mean that, I'm going to tell you, they were very frustrated. Do you know what it's like to get frustrated serving Christ? And they were targets of extreme hatred. I mean, folks just didn't hate them. They hated them. Their family and friends had turned their backs on them. And if anybody did not feel like smiling, it was the people in Asia Minor. For they had been in bodily pain, tormented, properties had been destroyed. Folks had been vicious, vicious toward them, and they had been persecuted. And I know that some of you sit in this sanctuary today and you say, Preacher Ron, I just don't feel like smiling. There's some things in my life, I just don't feel like smiling. I'm going through some hard days. Family members are sick, and I don't know what I'm doing. Financially, I'm about to go under it. And I come in here today, and I just really don't feel like smiling. Well, that might be the case. But I will tell you this. If you can muster up a smile, the devil will have to flee.
Amen.
Peter's tried to tell them how to live, 1 Peter chapter number 4. Peter never used the word rejoice. Peter never uses the word smile. But he tries to remind them if they'll live the kind of life that they're supposed to live, they will automatically smile. And here's what he said. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now let me tell you what he told them. He said that we ought to live our lives looking for the Lord. I want to get up in the morning and say, could this be the day that the Lord comes? I want to go to bed at night and say, during this night, could it be the night that the Lord comes? For can I tell you, Jesus is on His way. He said, live your life looking for the Lord. Now this was penned over 2,000 years ago, and we all know that the Lord didn't come then. The Lord didn't come. But I'll tell you this, just because He didn't come then doesn't mean He's not coming now. And so we live our lives expecting Jesus. You want to know what expectancy brings? It brings excitement. You know what excitement brings? It brings joy. You know what joy brings? It brings jubilation. You know what jubilation brings? It brings a smile. For we're excited about who may be coming. We're living our lives looking. And if we're looking for the Lord, there won't be any strife toward one another. There won't be us holding grudges. You know why? We won't want the Lord to come and us not right with one another.
Right. Amen.
Live looking for the Lord to come. For the Lord to come. What excitement ought to fill our hearts that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords
is soon coming.
How do we look? He said, well, you look for the Lord promptly. He said, what did you say? Verse 7, he says, be sober and watch. Our minds must be clear. Our hearts must be ready. We must not go to sleep on the Lord. We know that he could come at any moment. And don't be distraught and disturbed by fear or frustration. Look for the Lord promptly. It could come. He could come before I finish my sermon. He could come before we gather tonight. He could come before tomorrow. Look promptly for him, for he is coming.
Hey.
Look promptly for Jesus. If he comes today, okay. If he comes tomorrow, okay. If he comes next week, that's okay too. Just look for him to come when he gets ready to come.
Amen.
You look promptly, Peter said. He said you look prayerfully. He said and pray. Verse 7, he talked about to be sober and watch and pray. There is a place in the Christian's life for prayer. And could it be that we become lazy in our prayer life? We ought to pray, okay, Lord, if you're going to come tonight, help me to win somebody to you today.
Amen.
We ought to pray, pray, pray. When issues come up in our lives, guess who has all the answers? God does.
Amen.
God does. God does. Look, open up your eyes. Look promptly for the coming of the Lord. Look prayerfully for his coming. As we kneel to pray and pray that God bless us and God bless our church and God save souls, as we pray, Lord, I have one eye open looking toward heaven, for he can come in the middle of our prayer.
Amen. Amen.
The church will be no greater than his prayer. And we have got to pray, pray, pray. You know how to face persecution in your life? Through prayer.
Amen.
Pray. So Peter says, you know what? I know you've gone through hard days and hard times. I know you struggle and people don't like you. I know all that. But he says, just keep living your life looking for the Lord. You look promptly and prayerfully. And then he gets to verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Look passionately. Did you notice what Peter told those persecuted Christians? Did he say, well, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd run out my tongue and poke out my lips and I'd stay mad and angry at that crowd all the time. No, that ain't what he said. He said, I'll tell you what you've got to do. You've got to love folks regardless.
Amen.
Hearts. There must be a passion in God. You say, well, there's some folks I just can't love. I'll tell you, that's the problem. You can't love anybody for yourself. But aren't you glad that God helps us to love those who are in love?
Amen.
I need to be loved. You need to be loved. We all need to be loved. The whole world needs to be loved. And charity is the highest form of love. That's the kind of love that Christ had on the cross for you and me. It's the same kind of love. But he said that charity, this kind of love covers the multitude of sins. Passion covers it up. What's the opposite of strife? Love. We've got to love one another. That's the badge of being a Christian. Lost folks are not supposed to love. They don't have the love of Jesus in their life. Christian folks are supposed to love. We don't have choice. We're supposed to love. And he even goes deeper in this thing. He kind of describes what kind of love it is. He said it's the strength of it. It's a fervent charity. The word is a stretching and straining to reach the goal. It's an athletic term. That's what it means. The fervent. It means that they're stretching for the goal line. They're striving to hit that goal line. If you watch the Olympics, you've seen how some of them have stretched with everything they've got to accomplish what they set out to do. cross that line. That's Christian love. The charity he talks about means that we may have to stretch and we may have to stray, but we are to love one another.
Amen.
That's the love that Christ for you and me. And it's not a cold love. You can tell if somebody says, I love you, and it's cold as a fish. You can tell that it's a heartfelt love. The greatest thing is when you hear somebody that you know love you, tell you they love you, and you know that they love you. The Lord tells me she loves me. I don't doubt that. My two boys tell me they love me. That's great. I love to hear that. I'll tell you one thing, when that soon-be 4-year-old granddaughter tells me she loves me, my heart melts. Especially since they're in Japan, and she sends me a message on my phone. Don't you think we ought to start melting each other's heart with love?
Amen.
Don't you think we ought to overcome differences through love? Don't you think we ought to let the Lord soothe the wounds? Don't you think the church belongs to the Lord and not us anyway? And since he tells us what we ought to do, don't you think we ought to listen to him?
Amen.
Fervent kind of love. Who's the subject? He said, among yourselves. Among yourselves. He's talking about those who are persecuted. He's talking about Christian folks. Now, let's be honest. We don't get a whole lot of love in the world when we stand for Jesus. Since we're not going to get a whole lot of love in the world when we stand for Jesus, we ought to be able to come among church folks and feel more love than we've ever loved.
Amen.
That's where we get our love.
Amen.
And this is not a kind of love he's talking about toward pagans and idolaters. No, this is a fervent, passionate love that shows you know how it shows? Verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without judgment. You know what else he said about that love? It's a fervor for us. It's a serious love. It covers a multitude of sins. We start loving one another like God says for us to love one another. The devil won't be able to stand it. The devil won't be able to take it. And the devil will flee. And guess what? I think it's high time for the devil to flee.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're looking for Jesus, aren't we? Yeah, smile. We're looking for Jesus. Smile. You could be standing in one of the funeral homes with all these families this morning with a 10-year-old little baby. Listen. You couldn't be standing with the funeral at the funeral with that little 3-month-old baby. Things in your life could be a whole lot worse than they are. And I want you to understand something. Yeah, we go through hard days, but aren't you glad that God is still there?
Amen. Amen.
I'd love to change places with you sometime. I'd love for you to be the one to walk into that children's ward at Greenville Hospital and try to explain to a family why their 10-month-old is dying. When the child didn't deserve to die at the hands of somebody else. I'd love for you to walk into the home of a mom that just had rolled over on a child in the night and realize that she'd suffocated her own child in bed. Try to tell her everything's going to be okay. Yeah. You can't. But you know what you can say? You can grab that person, put your arms around that person, and in Christ's way, show them that they're loved. And I'll tell you one thing. Love soothes a lot of hurts.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you one thing. We've got a lot of folks up and down around our church that really needs to be loved.
Amen.
They don't need a sermon. They don't need a song. They don't even need a Sunday school lesson about that. They just need one person to reach out and show them that they love them.
Amen.
You show them you love them, then you can preach them a sermon. You show them you love them, then you can sing them a song. You show them that you love them, then you'll soon have an opportunity to teach them Sunday school lessons. But it all starts with love. And we can't prove to them that we love them if we don't start loving one another.
Amen.
That was a multitude of sins. So we're looking properly. We're looking passionately. We're looking at possession. When we look for the Lord, it calls us to have others. Peter's day missionary. You know, that day Peter's, the missionaries left their home churches and their friends. And they had to stay somewhere. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of motels down on the corner that they could afford. And so people would show their hospitality in it. They'd take them in and show them that hospitality. And they'd do it without grudging. You know what that means? That when they helped somebody, they didn't complain for 5 days that they had helped somebody.
Right.
You know what happens among Christians and churches? We become so selfish. As long as our needs are met, we don't worry about anybody else.
Right.
If we did things according to the Bible, I'm still old-fashioned and believe according to the Bible, and I stand for the Bible, and I'm old-fashioned in my teaching and preaching, but I will tell you this. If we as churches were doing what God expected us to be doing, we'd be taking care of all our widows, and we'd be taking care of all our homeless, and we'd be taking care of folks, for God really set it up for us to do that.
Amen.
Government had to step in and do something that God expected the church to do, and the government has failed. You know something?
Amen.
Shows us that we are so hospitable. Besides, you didn't realize that the possessions you have down here don't really belong to you either. If God's given you $20 today, you know who it really belongs to? God. A lot of hurting folks. We're looking for the Lord promptly. And listen to me. If the Lord comes today, you don't need what you've got in you.
That's right.
If the Lord comes, all you want to need is Jesus.
Right.
If you haven't been lately, and there's no reflection, so folks order to do this. You can find caskets of all sizes. You can find caskets now with shelves, so you can take what you want to with you. You can take your money and possessions with you if you want to, a little shelf. You put it in that shelf, close it up. If you haven't seen that, that's the truth. And I'm not saying anything against you if you want to do so. But I'll tell you one thing. What have you put in that casket when we go get it?
Right.
For guess what's going to happen? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your spirit's already gone. You know what's going to happen at the great resurrection day? You're going to rise, but you're going to have a new body. And who cares what's in the drawer of the casket?
That's right.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We're looking for the Lord promptly. We're looking for the Lord prayerfully. We're looking for the Lord passionately. We're looking for the Lord possessionally. And I thank you for what you've just done. But that will often have somebody who's lost things through their fire. We've got some other folks around this church, and we will have to do some things to help them who sit the day in dark, who sit with no water, who have a lot of heartaches, a lot of hurts while we're sitting here in this sanctuary. Guess what? The Lord wants us to be ready when He comes. And by the way, a side note to that thing is, if you show hospitality and you help somebody, that's wonderful. God will bless you for what you've done. But please, don't go and run your mouth about how bad that situation really was. I am one step away from not having anything down here myself.
Amen.
Be very careful. For if that person hears a comment that you made about how sorry they were, if that person hears a comment about how sorry their house looked, I'll tell you one thing, you'll never, ever be able to convince them that a word in heaven loves them.
Amen.
Well, you see, he said, live your life, live your Lord. You've got to stop and look at the Lord's face. You've got to smile a little bit at the Lord's face. And then he said this, we're going to live our lives looking for the Lord. But he said, you ought to live your lives laboring for the Lord. Now, Peter knew that he was speaking to Baptist folks. And he knew that if he told them just to look for the Lord, they'd find them reclining somewhere and sitting there not doing anything else. He knew that. He knew that it doesn't take a whole lot if we don't do anything for the Lord. Oh, we think we've done it all and come to church, and so we said that's enough. He knew what he was talking about. He said, the Lord expects us to labor. Look at verse 10, what he says. Verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He says, we are to serve. Since you have a gift, what is the gift that God's given us? And I'm your Savior. Love, you'll say life, you'll say church. I'll tell you, the greatest gift God has ever given to us, that we, that causes us to want to serve, is simply His grace.
Amen.
If it were not for the amazing grace of God, all of us would be doomed.
Amen.
And we serve others because of His grace. We serve others because of His grace. We take Sunday school classes because of His grace. We work with our children because of His grace. We help in Awanas because of His grace. We help in the on the building committee because of His grace. If you're doing anything because you want to do it and you want to be over it, can I tell you something? You're doing it for the wrong reasons. The only reason you are serving the church is because of the amazing grace of God.
Amen.
Who cares who gets the credit as long as somebody gets the job done?
Amen.
Who cares if your name is never in the bulletin as long as you're doing what God's spoken to you?
Amen.
Who cares if nobody gets on Facebook and brags about what you've done? Who cares? It's not the Facebook that we look at down here that matters. It's God's book that ought to matter.
Amen.
We're serving. Stewards. Stewards. You know what a steward is? A steward is one who just takes care of things. They don't own the house and all the property. They just take care of it. You don't own anything. Oh, yeah, my house is paid for. My car is paid for. I got the notes. I got the tiles. I got that. No, you don't own things. Everything you have, God has let you have. We labor by serving the Lord. It's nominated community. Our church, like many other churches, and you know something? Some of you have already made up your mind you're not going to do anything for Christ. Well, I want to warn you something. As long as there's breath in your body and Jesus in your heart, you ought to do something for Christ.
Amen.
That's why we've got, well, on your way out, you've got ministry opportunities. You've got a little form here that if you serve it or want to serve, you can help to nominate the committee by checking and putting on here that you're willing to serve. You know what happens in life at the church? It takes everybody. It's not about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. It's about everyone. There's little committees that you may think is not important. It's very important. There's more important things than being in front of people. There's the little things that have to be done in the operation of the church. I'll give you one for instance. What about our baptism committee? You say, well, that's nothing. That is good. Somebody's going to have to make sure that the candidates for baptism, we're going to have baptism the last 7 out of this month. Have we got around 10 to baptize? You know what? The baptism committee is important. You know why? It shows those people that they're proud of. They hand them a title and they come out of the water. You say, that's foolish. No, it's not. You don't understand something? Everything in life of our church, and the church ought to be so excited to baptize anybody that you already want to serve on the committee.
Amen.
So we're missing. We're looking for the Lord, but we don't sit down and wait to look at Him. We're serving.